Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 8 minutes after 11 o'clock here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 370 in the series. And it is March 17th, and Lisa's microphone is wobbling. It's wobbling. How are you, Lisa?
I'm great, Carl. How are you?
Good. Boy, those dimples are deep.
Yeah.
She has some deep dimples, folks.
Well, yeah. I was born like that.
Yeah.
They're hereditary.
You were born this way.
I was born this. That's a good name for a song.
Shante Garth is our producer. She's in the booth. And we have the story of Dr. Kildare from 1951. That is a good broadcast starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. And then we have Casey Crime Photographer from 1947 starring Stotts Cotsworth. But first, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Is It Real or Is It Ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity is Kurt Russell.
Yes.
And the prize will be a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
All right, what caller would you like?
We're going to go with caller number three, so
All
you
right.
should call right now at 312-981-7200.
All right, we'll play the game live on the air right after these words.
Come on, baby, let's get ridiculous.
All right, we have Dave on the phone. Play a little Real or Ridiculous. Hey, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning. Or almost. It's almost morning. It's still evening. But either way is good. How are you?
I am most satisfactory.
Terrific. We are satisfactory as well.
Dave.
We're going to do a little Kurt Russell. You ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready.
I'm ready, good to go and ready to launch.
Excellent. Number one, Kurt Russell played minor league hockey until an injury ended his career. Is that real or ridiculous?
No, it's minor league baseball.
Wow.
Carl?
I'm going to have to agree with Dave.
You are absolutely right. It was minor league baseball. You know you're Kurt Russell. Number two, Kurt Russell's a licensed pilot. Real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
I'm going with Dave.
Well, I wouldn't do that this time because
next time I'm going with Dave on the next question.
He absolutely is a licensed pilot.
Oh.
Okay, we're one and one here. Number three, Kurt Russell was nominated for an Emmy Award for the made-for-TV film Elvis.
I'm going to go for that one. Yeah, real.
I agree, real.
That is real. All right, you guys did great. You got two out of three. That's
from now on,
not
I'm just agreeing
bad.
with the listener.
That's
I'm
a good
gonna,
idea.
Just, because I stink at this
game.
You know
what? You should take that into account and agree with me as well.
Yeah.
You never agree
what?
With me.
I always agree with you.
You have two masters.
Dave, she has two master's degrees.
He always disagrees.
And I have none.
We argue
so I think
all the time.
I'm going to just, I always agree with you.
Okay, I'll remember
And the listeners
you said
are
that.
Always smarter than me, too.
Well, I'm like Howard and Fine. I'm a member of the Amalgamated Association of Morons, Local Branch 6 and 7 8.
I founded that company, actually.
Well, you should stick with that, Carl. Anyhow, Dave, you are a winner. You have won the desktop indoor weather station. Is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Man. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. I have the desktop indoor weather station. I love it. I am sure you will, too.
And
so
you know what, Dave?
Congrats.
That's slicker than snot on a doorknob.
That's affirmative. You remember me.
I do remember you.
I do remember you, too. Thank you so much for calling in. We love to talk to you.
All right, Dave.
And
way to
thank
go.
Thank you very much.
Take
You're
care.
You're welcome. He's a big winner, Lisa. All right, and so are our listeners. Hey, we have a text in line. It's working, right?
It's working. 312.
Tell everybody about it.
It's 312-981-7200. That's the same as our call-in line. I am on it. I am watching your texts, and I'd love to hear from you, so it's going to be a great night.
All right, so we're going to start things off with my mom's second favorite classic radio show. Yesterday, I played A Life with Luigi for her. That's her favorite. And now I'm playing The Story of Dr. Kildare. She loves this show. She used to play Dr. Kildare with her brothers when she was a young little girl. You know, she played this game.
And how old is she now?
Well, she's 90.
So isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And guess what? She used to play this, and one of her brothers would be Dr. Kildare, and she'd run around and be like, Dr. Kildare, we've got a patient. And, you know, and they would listen to the radio show.
Funny.
Yeah. And it was a great series, a medical drama based on the characters that were made popular by a series of MGM medical melodramas, very popular movies. And these stories revolved around the patients and the staff at Blair Memorial Hospital. Lou Ayres took the lead role of the young, handsome, skilled surgeon, Dr. Kildare. And character actor Lionel Barrymore played the crusty mentor figure, Dr. Gillespie. It was syndicated in 1950 on radio. It provided an effective precursor to the Dr. Kildare TV series seen in the early 1960s, starring Richard Chamberlain as Dr. Kildare and Raymond Massey is Dr. Gillespie. So it was on radio, is in the movies, on television, and we have a radio broadcast for you now going back to January 26, 1951. This is called Joe Finley's Ulcer. It stars Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore in part one of The Story of Dr. Kildare.
The Story of Dr. Kildare.
Whatsoever house I enter, there will I go for the benefit of the sick. And whatsoever things I see or hear concerning the life of men, I will keep silence thereon, counting such things to be held as sacred trusts. I will exercise my art solely for the cure.
The Story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer brought you these famous motion pictures. Now this exciting, heartwarming series is heard on radio. In just a moment, The Story of Dr. Kildare. Now, The Story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Hello there.
Why, hello.
I'm Dr. Kildare. Dr. Henderson's been called out of town. I'm going to be your doctor for this afternoon.
In that case, Dr. Kildare, I'm going to be your nurse for this afternoon.
Good.
I'm Miss Thompson. Welcome to first floor receiving ward.
Thank you.
I don't suppose you'll find this as exciting as that diagnostic clinic up in the clouds with Dr. Gillespie.
Oh, you're wrong, Miss Thompson. First floor receiving, a world of screaming sirens and screeching ambulances, vibrant, full of life and action.
Well, our action for the day has been one broken arm and one appendectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Both patients doing fine, both resting comfortably, and both hate doctors. Here are the charts.
Uh-huh. I'll look in on that appendectomy in a while.
Not even a broken thermometer, doctor.
And frankly, nurse, that's the kind of a day I like to have in receiving. I don't mind looking out this window and not seeing an ambulance.
Hmm?
Miss Thompson, there's a passenger car parked in the ambulance driveway.
Oh, I'd better call the emergency office and tell them to clear that runway. I don't know why anybody'd do a thing like that.
Where's the doctor here?
I'm Dr. Kildare.
Doc, you better come quick. I got him out in my car.
Mm-hmm. Miss Thompson, notify the litter crew.
Come on, Doc, come on. I think he's dying or something.
And come right out with my bag.
Right away, doctor.
I'd have brought him in myself, Doc, but I didn't want to move him until you had a look at him.
That was the right thing to do.
I guess I shouldn't have come up the ambulance ramp, but I wanted somebody to get to him fast, and I couldn't find the other receiving end.
Mm-hmm, sure.
We were just getting ready to eat lunch when he folded up. He was suffering something awful. Said his stomach was killing him, so I piled him into my car and drove him right over. It was the nearest place. Thought it might be appendicitis or something.
Good.
This is him, Doc. This is Joe.
All right. Let me have a look now.
I'm all right. I'll be all right in a while. I want to get back to my job.
Nurse?
The litter crew's standing by, doctor.
Good. It's an internal hemorrhage. He's going into shock. I'll need morphine for this man.
Yes, doctor.
I don't get it, Doc. What is it? What's the matter? Joe's never been sick a day all the time he's worked for me.
Tell me, was he involved in an accident of some kind?
Accident? No. Joe didn't even take his truck out today. Hasn't got any broken bones or anything. I felt for those.
Here's the sedative, doctor.
Oh, good, thanks. There. All right, Miss Thompson, put him on the ward right away.
Yes, doctor.
Until we know how serious this is and what it is, we'll have to keep him here.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Are you a relative of his?
No. Joe works for me. Standard Products. He's one of my drivers. I'm the foreman there. My name's Schumann, Bernie Schumann.
Ah, well, Mr. Schumann, we'll have to admit him. Can you give us his family's address and...
Joe's wife would be scared if a doctor was to call and tell her something happened to Joe. Could I tell Lorraine?
The patient complained of severe stomach pains before he collapsed. That is, according to the man who brought him in.
Mm-hmm. And the patient himself?
Evidently, he's been having recurring symptoms for several months.
I see. Pain seems to be localized?
Yes, in the epigastrium, right between the ensiform and the umbilicus.
Mm-hmm. And what did the x-ray show, Dr. Kildare?
Well, they just came back. Here, take a look.
Uh-huh. Oh. It's a gastric lesion, all right. Diagnosis seems fairly obvious, Jimmy. The patient has a perforated ulcer. You've certainly established that.
He's being prepped for surgery right now. Posterior gastroenterostomy.
Of course, yeah, ma'am.
You know, Dr. Gillespie, there's an unusual problem here. There's an age incidence involved.
Huh? What do you mean, Jimmy?
Joe Finley's just a kid. Only 24 years old.
24 years old? Oh, good. And he's already worried himself into this serious physical condition.
Well, it happens, but not very often.
It's bad enough for a 40-year-old man to come to me with a stomach that he's been systematically ruining for years. But this...
They're ready for you open surgery, Dr. Kildare.
Oh, thank you, Miss Thompson. Care to go with me, Dr. G?
Oh, you bet your bottom dollar I'll go to surgery with you, Jimmy. And after that, I want to be in on this case. I want to know just what kind of life Mr. Joe Finley's been leading to put him in this hospital before he's dry behind the ears.
Dr. Gillespie, I didn't know you were here yet this morning.
Well, you know it now, Parker. Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you manage a phone call to Dr. Kildare? He's probably up in surgery.
Well, he's probably not even here yet. It's early, and I don't think...
I know you don't.
Well, I like that.
I thought you would.
Good morning, Parker.
Oh, Dr. Kildare.
I don't have to ask if he's in.
You certainly do not. He's in. Was just about to phone you.
That you, Jimmy?
Good morning, Doctor.
Come in, come in, come in, come in, and shut the door. I don't want any mule-eared nurse listening in on our conversation.
I'll shut it myself.
Yeah, that woman has an awful temper. Don't know how I put up with her all the
years. Oh, too bad.
Well, Jimmy, how's our patient? How'd he get through the night?
I'm fairly comfortable. No complications.
Well, well, that's fine, fine. That's one hurdle out of the way.
But this Finley boy. If we're going to get over that second hurdle with him and cure him, we've got to find out what's worrying him and eliminate it. Or he's not going to be cured.
I agree with you. What is it, Parker?
Dr. Kildare, Mr. Schumann's here to see you.
Oh, Dr. Kildare.
Hello, Mr. Schumann. Oh, this is Dr. Gillespie.
Doctor?
How do you do, Mr. Schumann?
Dr. Gillespie and I were just discussing Joe's case. We hope that you might...
Doctor, I'd like to see Joe. I've got to talk to him.
Something's come up, Mr. Schumann? Something the matter at his home?
No. No. Oh, I guess you'd find out sooner or later. I can't stop it.
What are you talking about?
Well, I took over Joe's route myself. I started driving it this morning. I had to take over his receipt books, too. Well, he's short.
$1,645. No. Are you sure?
Yeah, he's been tapping it all along the route for months. I stumbled onto it. Wish I hadn't. If he's still got the money, I want to ask him where it is and put it back. We're covered by a bonding company. They'd see he gets the limit for grand larceny if they know.
Are you sure he took the money?
It couldn't have been anybody else. Please, can I see him?
I couldn't even allow the police in to see him right now.
Well, all right, I'll drop back later.
Yeah, you do that.
Doc, Joe's an awful nice kid. I'll see you then.
See you.
This is more background on our patient than I hoped for. At least we know what's been worrying him.
I wonder. Suppose we go talk to his wife.
Doesn't seem to be anybody home, Jimmy.
No. Well, I guess we aren't going to meet Lorraine Finley after all, I...
Come in.
Oh.
Mrs. Finley?
Yes. Over here in bed.
Ah. Well, I'm Dr. Gillespie. This is Dr. Kildare.
Oh, yes. Mr. Schumann told me you were taking care of Joe. Joe is going to be all right. He will get better and strong.
We have every reason to hope so, Mrs. Finley. The operation was a complete success, and there are no complications. As yet.
Well, what is it? What's wrong?
Well, one of the contributing factors to Joe's present condition is that he's been terribly worried and upset for a long period of time.
Oh.
And in order for his recovery to become complete, he must be free from that worry when he gets out of the hospital.
It's me. He worries about me all the time.
Oh, no.
I've been sick for such a long time, and Joe's been doing everything for me. And I'm no help to him this way. I know I'm the one who's put him in the hospital. I know it.
Are you under a physician's care now?
Yes.
Who?
Dr. Klaus Blackthorne's my doctor.
See?
He's been giving me shots.
Well, what's Dr. Blackthorne's diagnosis?
It's my heart.
Your heart?
But he says I'll be well and up in no time, and I will. And then Joe won't have to worry about me. I promise you that. I'll see that he doesn't worry about me.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Finley, it's been nice meeting you. We have to run along now.
Oh, thank you for coming by and telling me about Joe.
Hmm.
I promise you he won't worry about me when he gets out of the hospital.
All right. Goodbye, Mrs. Finley.
Goodbye.
Oh, thank you again.
Did you see it?
Yes. Pallor, obvious temperature, and dilated pupils.
I don't even need a stethoscope for that one. Either my 40 years of practice have taught me nothing, or Dr. Blackthorne is revolutionizing the medical profession. Heart trouble. Yeah. That girl's suffering from acute anemia.
You're right. And, Doctor, it looks as if we found another hurdle. Mm. This one is probably the biggest of them all.
We return to the story of Dr. Kildare in just a moment.
He did my job. I was going to say that.
Well, some people's jobs are more important than others.
I guess so. All right. Well, I won't have to say, we'll get back to the story of Dr. Kildare in just a few moments. I won't have to say that.
But
then.
You already said it.
Well, I won't say it again.
Oh, good.
So stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic. It is 11:36 here on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf to my right, the vivacious one. What's up, Lisa?
Well, somebody around here has to be vivacious, and it's not you.
Yeah.
So I've taken that role over here.
I don't know if I wished you a happy St. Paddy's Day yesterday. Did I?
You didn't, but you don't need to.
Well, it's still another 22 minutes of St. Patrick's Day.
Of what?
St. Patty's Day.
Did you say something?
Ah,
luck of the Irish.
After me, Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Lucky Charms?
I actually like, yes.
Do you?
I actually like Lucky Charms. They're good. They're magically delicious.
I know.
My favorite cereal is Raisin Bran. I like Raisin Bran.
I just like the raisins.
I know. The raisins are good because they
really
have like a little sugar.
I don't really like the bran part.
In them. And then I like Life. You ever had that?
Yeah, it's
hey,
okay.
Hey, Mikey, he likes it.
Yeah, it's
it?
Okay.
Hey, look, Mikey likes it.
I like
it.
Quaker Oat Squares. Those are good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had those?
No.
No?
No.
Those are good.
So let's ask our listeners, what's your favorite cereal? Text
you know,
in.
You know what's really good? Just a really good granola. Like
yeah,
a really
I like
good,
granola.
Healthy granola. Not like a junky one, like a good, hearty granola.
Let's do this. Text us in if there's a cereal that you used to eat that's no longer around. What about that?
Like what?
Is there any?
No.
They're still all
here.
Around, yeah.
Like,
okay,
know,
so that was a bad idea.
Like a cinnamon toast
so that was a bad idea.
That's what I was trying
just
to say
let us
in
know
a really
what you
nice
like.
Way.
Let us know what you like.
That's better.
All right, text us 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, let's get back now to the story of Dr. Kildare.
We continue with the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Schumann speaking.
Oh, this is Dr. Kildare at Blair Hospital.
Oh, yeah, Doc. How's Joe?
Oh, Joe's doing fine, just fine. That's why we called you. Here, Dr. Gillespie wants to talk to you.
Suppose Joe Finley could somehow get enough money to replace what he lacks in his accounts.
Huh? You mean you talked to him and he's got it? I knew Joe would...
Wait a minute now. Could the money be replaced without anyone ever finding it out?
Oh, don't you worry, Doc. Nah. If Joe's got that dough, I know just what to do. Just what to do.
Good, Schumann. Good, good. I'm sending a messenger over with $1,645. Parker? Parker!
I'm sorry, Dr. Gillespie. I heard you, but I was busy.
Busy?
Busy.
Ah, you haven't been busy for years. You have the softest job in this entire hospital.
I'll have you know the other nurses refer to this assignment as the Chamber of Horrors.
Well, that's only because you're here, Parker. Oh. Now listen carefully, please. Here, take this check down to the bank and get it cashed.
Dr. Gillespie, this is for $1,645.
Do what I say. When you cash the check, take the money to a man named Bernard Schumann at Standard Products Company. You know where it is. Get out of here. Go on.
Oh,
scat.
Well, playing a long shot again, aren't we?
Well, Jimmy, our job is to cure this Finley boy. Permanently, if possible. And sometimes a cure calls for extreme measures. Somehow, from what people like his wife and his boss say about him, I don't feel that Joe Finley is such a long shot.
Well, he certainly has his troubles. What about his wife, Doctor?
Any ideas?
Just one. We should bring her to the hospital right away. She needs competent and sustained medical treatment.
That is exactly my thought, Jimmy. That's exactly my thought. And this time, Blair General can stand the bill for service rendered.
Right. I'll send an ambulance out for her right away. Well, how do you like this room, Mrs. Finley? Think you can be happy here for a while?
Oh, Dr. Kildare, it's just wonderful.
Good.
It's so white and clean. Why, I feel better already. Are you sure this is what Joe wanted?
Well, it was his idea that we bring you here.
But the money...
Oh, don't you worry about that.
Oh, he works so hard and he spends all of our money on me. It isn't fair. I don't know why he doesn't hate me.
Well, now it isn't your fault you became ill.
Oh, but I shouldn't be such a burden to Joe. That's all I've been lately, burden.
You know, I want to tell you something. You and Joe have the most wonderful thing in the world, a deep love for each other. And if things like this were going to make any difference between you, it would have happened a long time ago. Now, what you both have to do is try and get well as fast as you can.
I want to. I've always wanted to.
You just keep saying that, and you'll see in a few weeks you can take up right where you left off.
Is Joe very far from here now?
Just down the hallway.
Oh, can I see him? Oh, please, can I see him just for a minute?
Dr. Gillespie's in talking with him now, but when he's finished, I'll have you wheeled down the hall to visit. But just for a few minutes.
Dr. Kildare, I always thought there was nobody in the world like Joe. But I know now there are two others. You and Dr. Gillespie.
feel, Joe?
Kind of worn out.
Well, what you need's a good long rest.
I can't rest, Doc. I gotta get up and get out of here. How long will it take?
Well, without any complications, I think we could have you on your feet in about 10 days.
I can't stay here that long.
Oh, now 10 days doesn't seem to me like an abnormally big piece out of a lifetime, Joe.
I have to get out of here in a couple of days. I need money. I got responsibilities.
Joe, your body will only stand so much worry and so much work and so many problems. Do you have any idea why you're here?
It's my luck. It always runs out on me. It isn't one thing, it's another.
It wasn't just bad luck. An ulcer is a boring process against the stomach lining. It's like having a drill pressed against your skin. Every time you worry, it's like giving the drill another twist. Pretty soon, it gets right through. Leaves a hole that has to be repaired. That's what's happened to you.
What am I supposed to do? Just forget everything? Every day I lie here, I don't make money, and I need money bad.
I know. Just how bad. If you're worrying about that money at Standard Products, don't give it another thought.
What?
It's all taken care of. Replaced.
How did you find out? Who told you?
Your foreman, Mr. Schumann.
But who put it back? Did he?
I did.
I'll make it up to you, Doc. If I work overtime every day for the rest of my life, so help me.
No. Don't make another problem out of this, Joe. We'll figure out some way for you to pay this loan when you're feeling better.
Doc, I guess it's up to me to tell you what I did with that money.
I already know. You paid for medical treatment for your wife. How did you ever go to Dr. Klaus Blackthorne?
Our landlady told us about him. Blackthorne was a big doctor at the State University. We were lucky to have him in our neighborhood.
Mm.
He said it would take a while, but that he'd cure Lorraine faster and cheaper than anyone could.
Joe, there are no shortcuts in medicine. How much did Blackthorne charge you for shots that he was giving your wife?
$10. Three a week. Almost as much as I made. That's why I had a...
I see. Well, here's Kildare.
Hello, Joe. I have someone I'd like you to meet.
Lorraine.
Oh, Joe. Oh, Joe, honey. Oh, honey.
Let's see, 231, 233, 235. Ah, here it is.
Look at the hallway. Well, it hasn't been swept in a year.
There isn't any name on it, but this should be the door.
There's a card in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Klaus Blackthorne, specializing in all diseases and non-surgical ailments. There. Let's see this doctor, Jimmy.
Well, nobody in the waiting room.
Waiting room? Looks more like a flop house.
Hello? Hello? Anyone here?
Excuse me, gentlemen. I was busy in my laboratory.
Doing what?
Oh, some private experiments too complicated to explain. Now then, what can I do for you?
I'm Dr. Kildare, and this is Dr. Gillespie from Blair General.
Oh, yes, I see. Well, I'm quite busy now. Some other time, perhaps.
Sit down!
Dr. Blackthorne, do you have a license to practice medicine?
Well, of course. What do you want?
I've checked on you through every available source. You have no license to practice medicine. You're not a doctor, and you've never been one.
Gosh. You're mistaken. Look there, my diploma on the wall. I'm a graduate of the State University.
I see the diploma, and it's as phony as you are. You never were in or near the State University. I spoke with their registrar an hour ago.
Well, I don't see why I should be subjected
to... Shut up, you charlatan!
Did you ever treat a patient named Lorraine Finley?
Finley? No, I never heard of her.
She said you did treat her, and we prefer to believe her. That girl has a malignant and serious case of anemia. She could have died under your care.
Well, I did her no harm, just health shots.
Health shots? But you should see how unhealthy this girl is now. or she's so weak she can't even walk.
Well, I must have made the wrong diagnosis. Now, listen, gentlemen.
Blackthorn, you've been doing the most dangerous and despicable thing a human being can do. You've been posing behind the name of doctor and giving treatment to people who trusted you. It'll take months to undo the harm you've spread in this neighborhood.
Well, gentlemen, let us have a little business conference.
Don't you dare mention bribery to us. Why, by the great horn spoon, I should beat you into insensibility.
Now, please.
The penalty for posing and practicing as a doctor in this state is 10 years. Dr. Gillespie and I are going to testify against you, and I hope you get every year of it. I only wish it were 100 years.
We're only wasting time with this parasite, Jimmy. Let's call the police.
No. Wait a minute.
You take one step out of that chair and I'll break it over your head.
Look, I'll give you money. I made a mistake. Gentlemen, I'll do anything.
Hello, operator? Give me the police department. Grab one of these packages, quick, before I drop them.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Gillespie. I couldn't get to you in time.
Oh, it's not your fault, I suppose. Give me a hand, we'll pick them up.
Now, what are all these things?
Well, in that package is a dismantled, genuine glass trout rod. And in that one are 6 mystery novels. And in this green one is a heavy-duty hammock, complete with canopy.
What in the world?
Haven't you ever heard of taking a vacation?
Frankly, no.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
What did I hear about a vacation?
Oh, Jimmy, come in here. I want to show you something.
Just a minute, Dr. G. I have something I want to show you. Have you seen today's paper?
No. Why? Well, what's in it?
This.
Let me see it. Huh? Oh. Today in municipal court, this one?
Mm-hmm.
Klaus Blackthorn, who posed for more than 2 years as a registered physician, was sentenced to 10 years in the state prison. Well, Jimmy, I can't say I'm sorry. I hope this will be a warning to other men not to tamper with the medical profession.
Hear, hear. And did you know that Mrs. Joe Finley is being discharged today?
Yeah, sure, Jimmy. I saw her early this morning. She's quite a gal.
She's going to join Joe up in Connecticut. He wrote her a letter last week and said by the end of the year he expects to be a partner in the store he's working in.
He probably will be, too, Jimmy. He's got a lot of ambition. Now, if you will pardon me, I'll have to go on my vacation. Parker, give me a hand.
Dr. Gillespie, you didn't tell anybody about your vacation. Where are you going?
Where I always go on my vacation.
Huh?
Right here in the office. Now, come on, set me up this hammock.
You have just heard the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. This program was written by E. Jack Newman and John Michael Hayes and directed by Joe Bigelow. Original music was composed and conducted by Walter Schumann. Supporting cast included Virginia Gregg, Paul Dubov, Isabel Jewell, Paul Fries, Ann Diamond, and Jay Novello. Dick Joy speaking.
That's the story of Dr. Kildare, January 26, 1951, Joe Finley's ulcer, Lou Ayres, and Lionel Barrymore. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa. You know, we just played a Woodman's spot. Don't forget, folks, Woodman's, one of our new sponsors, has a wonderful promotion going on for YOU. And that is you get 12 classic radio shows digitally sent to your computer when you take a photo of your Woodman's receipt. So go shopping at Woodman's, take a photo with your smartphone of the Woodman's receipt and email it to Woodman's WGN woodmans@gmail.com. That's woodmans@gmail.com. And then within 24 hours, we will send you 12 classic radio shows, digitally remastered, sent to your email. You can listen to them on any listening device. And every month, we change it up. So you can get the March 12 shows, and then next month, get the April 12 shows, and so on. And you know what, Lisa? I am going to Woodman's tomorrow. It's a shopping day for me.
Monday is your day?
Yeah, well, generally I go like every other week, and we're out of like a lot
every
of stuff.
Other, you shop yeah. once every 14
well,
days?
Well, it's just me and my son. Yeah, we shop. I shop maybe like
How?
Every 10 to
How?
12 days.
How?
Well, because I load up. I buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but things don't last like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They do?
It lasts me and my son 2 weeks. Yeah,
no,
I mean, like,
they're just not fresh, two
no,
weeks later.
It definitely is.
I have to go every Absolutely. Few days. I
well,
can't,
you have
I
a,
can't do it like
you
that.
You have like 27 children.
No, I like it
I
really
had
fresh.
A hobby when I
was like
married.
I like to get fresh fruit and fresh vegetables.
You and Dan don't have any hobbies, I guess.
I guess
a lot
we
of
don't.
Kids.
Yeah.
So that means big... grocery bills.
That's
But
that
you know what? Woodman's can help with that.
I know that. I love Woodman's.
They're the best price. They have the best pricing of any of the grocery chains, plus the biggest selection. And I am going to Woodman's tomorrow to do my
it's
shopping.
It's actually kind of fun to go there, which
it's
is
a great place.
Which is great to say because yeah. I don't actually love going to the grocery store, but Woodman's is fun.
Oh, yeah. You can find everything at Woodman's. So do check it out and make sure you take a photo of your Woodman's receipt. Send it to Woodman's, WGN@gmail.com. We'll be happy to send you 12 classic radio shows. In our next hour, Casey, crime photographer from 1947, starring Stotts Cotsworth. Imagine going through life with the name Stotts Cotsworth.
Well, maybe there's a nickname.
No, that was...
Statko.
He went by... hey, Stotty. Stotts Cotsworth. All right, that's coming your way right after the news.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Vic. All right, it is 6 minutes after midnight here. It is Monday morning. Happy Monday, Lisa.
Happy Monday, Carl.
And thanks to our listeners for staying up late with us while we play classic radio shows. In this hour, KC Crime Photographer. You're going to like that. Broadcast from 1947, called The Chivalrous Gunman, starring Stotts Cotsworth. But before all of that, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Right. The celebrity is Kevin Costner, and the prize will be 2 tickets to see the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
It smells there.
It smells delicious.
Yes, it does.
Running March 20th through the 24th in Navy Pier's Festival Hall.
All right.
Would you like to go? I could probably hook you up.
Well, we'll see about that.
Okay.
All right. And what caller would
you
like?
We're going to go with caller 3, so hurry up. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Call now. We'll be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. All right. We're going to get ridiculous with James. James. Where's James?
James, are you there?
Hello.
There he is.
How are you?
Are you kidding? Would you believe I'm actually visiting a friend with my friend, her family, to just kind of sit here and for the night. And I just woke up and I heard you. And I said, wait a minute, I'm dialing quick. And son of a gun, what do you think happened?
Son of a gun.
See, that's what happens. You gave it a shot and here you are. You're going to win some tickets.
Yep.
Well, all I don't right. know if you'll be in Chicago or not, but if you're not, you'll give them to your friend. All right, we're going to do a little Kevin Costner, a little Real or Ridiculous number one, and Carl is an excellent lifeline, so make sure to use his
I'm
talent.
I'm just agreeing with James on
I think
everything
that's a
here.
Good idea. Number one, during his struggling days in Hollywood, he delivered pizzas. Real or ridiculous?
Real.
I say ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I got that from Carl because All when right. he was young, I, he used to yeah. deliver pizzas.
I still do.
You deliver yeah. pizzas?
You do pretty good.
I still deliver pizzas
I'm all right.
to my son every single week. He orders a pizza from Lou Malnati's.
Well, you can deliver one to me any old time, but
Hang
I don't tip that
That was
well.
For me. I'm sorry, James. This one's for you. All right, here
I'm
we
not
go.
A good tipper, though, so I don't know if you want to drive
say.
All the way out
she
there.
She has no money on her at any time, James.
You know, who carries cash, right?
Not you.
Not me. Number two, he was the lead drummer in his band.
What do you think?
I think that's real.
That is real.
It is not real. It is ridiculous. He was the lead singer.
Oh, she's
darn,
so tricky. She
darn,
is tricky,
so
James.
Close. Drummer, singer. It's almost the same thing. Number three. He is a skilled race car driver.
Oh, that's got to be real.
I say real.
Ridiculous. I'm so sorry. No, you know what,
James?
Ridiculous. I'll tell you,
you
how
what,
I
James?
Came up with that.
Struck out.
Strike three.
Strike three. I had to work hard to get all three of them wrong.
Listen, I've gotten all three wrong many, many times, so don't feel badly about it.
You know what happens when you get all three wrong, though?
What?
You win. You get a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, March 20th.
Oh, you know what?
What?
Would it be possible to get a Lou Malnati's? I have a bad
memory.
I'm sorry.
We can't.
I have.
They give us these.
Carl, I'm talking. Would you stop? I'm sorry. I have a prize list for Sunday, and I have to stick to it. Okay. I would if I could.
Oh, no. But I thought just maybe. Okay.
I know. We did that yesterday.
Well, maybe Kevin Costner will deliver a pizza to him.
One day off. But you've got a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, March 20th through 24th. It's a Navy Piers Festival Hall, and it features more than 20 unique display gardens, over 100 presentations and workshops, interactive experiences. It keeps the whole family entertained. You can check it out and get details at chicagoflower.com. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, James. All right. He's about as good at this game as I am, Lisa.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the great thing about this game is you're a winner no matter what.
That's true.
So it's all fun and games.
He can go to the flower show and smell all the flowers.
Do you like flowers, Carl?
Yeah, flowers are nice. Yeah. I like flowers.
Would you like it if somebody gave you flowers?
Not really.
Not that
not
much.
Particularly, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
just curious. I mean, not that I would. I'm just asking.
I don't think anyone has ever given me flowers.
Is that right?
No, I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe when you went to dances and things?
Nope. I don't think I've ever received a flower.
What, boutonniere? That's a flower.
Maybe. Maybe when I was, like, in high school or something.
Yeah, it's way back. Can't even remember that far.
It was, like, in the 1870s.
Eons ago.
When I was in high school. All right. Well, I'm sure you've gotten lots of flowers in your day, Lisa, because you are that kind of a person.
No.
People would want to give you flowers because you're very nice.
I don't know.
Lisa's, like, the nicest person.
Not that
She
nice.
Really is. No, she really is.
No, I'm nice,
you're
but,
very nice.
You know.
You're a nice person. You're genuine.
Well,
you're smart. You're pretty.
I have my...
You're all the good
my
things.
My drawbacks.
You're all the things. And you have really deep dimples,
I do.
Like, the deepest dimples I've ever seen on
my
anybody.
My dad has those, too.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Well,
what can you do?
Well, it runs in the Metanke family.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it does. All right. Well, it's time for Casey Crime Photographer, Amateur Detective Series. And the character was Jack Flashgun Casey, was first seen in pulp magazines. Casey was a newspaper cameraman who took crime scene photos. His keen eye for detail served him well at solving the crimes he was assigned to photograph. So that's what happened. He would go out, take a photograph of a crime scene, but his eye was so keen. He could see, you know, clues that the police would miss. And then, guess what? He'd solve the crime before the police. What do you think of that, Lisa?
I'll wait and see.
Yeah, and it came to radio in 1943. It actually starred Jim Backus originally. Remember Jim Backus?
Of course
you
I
know
do.
Who he is?
Yes, I
Thurston
do.
Thurston Howell III.
From Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Lovey. Thurston Howell.
Loved that show.
And then soon after, Stotts Cotsworth took over. So also made a transition to television. Richard Carlyle, later Darren McGavin. Remember the dad from Christmas Story?
Yeah.
He'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Darren McGavin, the dad on that. He was Casey on television. All right, it's time for The Chivalrous Gunman, August 14th, 1947. Here's part one of Casey, Crime Photographer.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Did you have a good time at the UN yesterday, Tony?
Oh, sure did, Casey. Even attended a committee meeting.
But what did you say when they asked whom you represented?
Why, Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, The Chivalrous Gunman. Penrose Square in the daytime is a busy place, but now at night, lights shine behind a few windows of its old-fashioned office and loft buildings. And a block away, a construction crew continues to drill and blast a new section of subway out of the city's rocky bed. In the darkened offices of the J.J. Titus Company, whose business is private loans, there are three men. One is busily engaged at the door of a massive safe. Another holds a flashlight. The third lightly grasps a gun.
Are you coming, Gus?
Almost ready to blow, Red. Hold that flashlight steady, will you, Riker?
Sure, Gus.
Got the shakes pretty bad, haven't you, Riker?
No, I'm all right, Ed.
You're so scared I can hear your teeth rattle.
No. Oh, it's the guy's first job, Gus. Weren't you scared when you cracked your first safe? I was scared the first time I killed a guy.
I've never been scared.
How many men have you killed, Ed?
Oh, you've got a lot to learn about the rackets, Riker. You must never ask personal questions, and you must cultivate a bad memory.
I will.
I got the charge in and all wired. It's ready to shoot after I rig my patent. You still scared, Riker?
Well, sometimes people work in this building at night doing overtime. If the explosion is heard...
I'm nuts. Nobody's paying attention to this blast. That subway work going on outside makes a perfect setup.
I hope we find all the dough in that safe you say will be in it, Riker.
There'll be at least $40,000 and maybe $50,000. I work in this office. I know what Titus keeps on hand.
It better be right. I don't like to waste my time.
I told you, fellas, how much money my boss kept here. I showed you how to beat the burglar
sure,
along.
Sure, Riker. You've done your part.
Back with the wall, guys. I'll touch her off.
Right.
Here she goes.
The door's blown clean off.
Sure. I know how to crack these boxes. Now we'll see.
The thing is full of dough.
I told you.
Hey, give me that suitcase. Help me load it with this dough, you guys.
You and Riker load it. I stay close to this hall door to watch and listen. I'm watching you guys, too, to see none of that dough sticks to your fingers. I want a full third of it.
You'll get it, Ed.
Sure I will.
Big bills and packages.
Hey, there's all of $50,000 here.
Yeah, we'll count it up when we get to the hotel and make our split.
Yeah, shake it up now.
We've got it all.
Hey, let's get out of here.
You carry the bag with my tools in, Riker. I'll take the money suitcase.
Oh, why can't
yeah,
I...
Gus tells you, Riker.
Sure, okay. But let's get away.
Quiet now, and I'll open the door. Come on, there's no one in the hall.
We'll go down the back stairs.
Yeah, then it's only a block to the car and our getaway.
Quiet.
Somebody opened the door.
It's down the hall there.
That girl...
Oh. Don't scream, babe. Don't.
I won't, but why do you point that gun at me? Mr. Riker.
She recognizes me, Ed. She's a sonographer who works in that office. She'll tell.
And if she told the cops on you, you tell about us. You gotta bump this gal, Ed.
No, I don't know what this is all about. Please.
Quiet. Let her have it, Ed.
This girl's coming with us.
Coming with us?
Where?
I know a spot out in the suburbs.
You're going to kill me.
Now, take it easy, baby. Come on, we're heading down the back stairs.
Ed, you take her where you want to. Gus and I will go to the place we agreed
and
on.
Take that dough with you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Riker. The dough and me are going to stick together. Yeah, this is a good spot. Gus, stop the car.
Okay, Ed.
You're going to kill me here.
Sorry, sister. You work late in your office on the wrong nights. Let's get out.
I'll never tell anybody that I saw you, man. I swear I'll never tell. Mr. Riker, you know me. I swear.
That's just it, Miss Birch. You know me, and you could send me to prison.
You're the guy who runs the biggest risk on this girl, Riker. Suppose you bump her off.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, I couldn't kill anybody.
Okay, yellow belly. How about you, Gus? You're strong for this bump off.
I've done my end of the job tonight. This is your part, Ed.
Yeah, that's so. Want to see me do it?
No. Take her back there among those trees.
Okay. Come on, sister.
No, no, no. Let go of my hand. Please.
Quiet.
Please don't leave me.
Come on. That's a girl. Just a few steps, babe, away from the road where the trees are thick. That's it. And away from those two yellow bellies. Oh, I'm not going to hurt you.
You're not...
Quiet. I've been sizing you up, and I figured you'd stand by a guy who stood by you.
I swear I'll never tell. I swear...
That don't convince me. I go by how I feel about things. Besides, I've never killed a woman.
You're going to let me go?
Uh-huh.
Boy.
Now, Candace, listen. If you follow this path for about a quarter mile, you'll come out on Weldon Spring Road, where you can flag a bus back to town. All right, get going.
Mister...
That's all. I'll fire a shot or two after you start for the benefit of those mugs back there. So long.
Thanks. Thanks. I'll never forget you.
What I expect you to do is forget me. Get on your way.
I... Goodbye. You can depend on me.
A swell double cross.
Hey, what the...
Listen, I didn't trust you with that money. We followed you and heard everything you said to that girl.
Oh, you did, Riker?
We did.
And you have a gat in your mitt, huh, Gus?
Yeah.
Guns aren't your racket, pal. You're a safecracker.
I'll use a gat when I have to pay off a double-crosser. That gal is never going to reach the bus line. And as for you...
What about me?
I'm giving you this.
No, you don't... I said guns weren't your racket, Gus. You're too slow on the trigger.
You killed him.
I think so, Riker. Let's see. Uh-huh. He's dead. You never saw a guy get it before, I guess.
Don't look at me like that, Ed.
Not much guts have you, Riker. You don't belong in the big leagues, and you wouldn't know what to do with big dough. So I'm taking all of what we got tonight.
No. Not even a killer like you was going to take it from me.
Shouldn't have reached for the gat. Poor Gus dropped, Riker. Guns aren't your racket either.
That's how it happened, Captain Logan. I tried to tell you everything.
That's the end, Captain. Riker's dead, Doctor?
Yes, it's a miracle he lived as long as he did.
Well, Logan, you got a big break. He gave you a pretty complete story before he passed out. Yeah, it was a swell break, Casey.
But Riker didn't identify the killer for you, Captain. He said he knew him only as Ed. And the description he gave you fits thousands of men.
Well, at least Riker gave me something to work on, Miss Williams. And there's this stenographer, Francis Birch, that the gunman turned loose. Logan, do you go for that part of Riker's story? A professional trigger man so chivalrous he takes a chance on his own hide by letting a witness go free? Mm-mm. That's hard for me to swallow. Well, screwy as this thing sounds, I think she got away safely. She'll be able to give me a good description of this killer. Women remember men. If the killer did let her go, and if she has any sense of gratitude, you're not going to get a thing out of her. Now, when she learns that her chivalrous gunman killed two guys tonight, well, as a reputable citizen... I'll bet she won't say a thing. We'll see. I'm starting to look for Miss Birch right now.
Yes, Captain Logan, the man let me go. He said he couldn't kill a woman. I ran through the woods, caught a bus, and came home here.
He didn't follow you?
No, Captain Logan.
This is certainly a hot one, Annie.
Mm-hmm, I'll say.
Now, I've told you all I know. I've had a terrible experience tonight. Please, leave me alone.
I'm sorry, Miss Birch, but you haven't yet given me a description of this man called Ed.
I can't describe him, Captain. It was dark all the time I was with him, and... I was so frightened.
Well, you must have some idea.
I haven't. I don't remember a single detail of the man's appearance.
Because you're too grateful to remember?
I just don't remember.
Miss Birch, this man's a professional killer. He murdered two men tonight.
It was a cold-blooded murder, and it was a double cross.
Well, it's your duty to assist the police in putting him where he belongs.
Duty can't make me tell you something I don't know. I wouldn't recognize him if he walked into this room. I don't know him.
Okay. That's the way you want it. have to hold you as a material and unwilling witness. Sergeant, take this young lady to headquarters.
You mean I'll be a prisoner?
You will be held for further questioning. Does the prospect improve your memory?
No, Captain. I'm ready to go, Sergeant.
Guess you win your bet, Casey.
Sorry, pal. I hoped I'd lose.
That's the first portion of Casey Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth. I did a little, I was looking up on line about Stotts Cotsworth, and it said that he was one of the busiest actors in all of radio. For 12 years, he was on radio. He was in over 7,500 radio broadcasts, not just Casey Crime Photographer, all kinds of shows. And I did the math. He averaged, in the 12-year period, he averaged over 15 broadcasts a week. So that's like two a day. He was on two different shows a day, 7 days a week. And of course, it didn't work 7 days a week. So, I mean, that's a lot of radio work there.
Out of everything you just said, I'm more intrigued with your math skills.
Well, my math skills,
and I question them.
Listen,
as well.
I was pretty darn good at math. And
did you take up space?
Took up space. Yeah. Hang on a second. And
I'm not sure that it's reliable.
I had a crush on my math teacher.
I know.
You know this. This
yes,
is true.
I do.
I had a crush on my math teacher, so I listened very.
Was she a girl?
Yeah. Was she a girl? Yes, she was a girl. And that's not funny. And I wanted to do well.
Carl, everyone is different.
I wanted to do well in her class. You know?
Why would I
wanted
be funny?
To impress her? I wanted to impress her.
Oh, it was a girl then.
Uh-huh. Yes, it was a girl.
There's no problem. I wouldn't mind if you didn't have a crush on a girl.
But getting back to Stotts Cotsworth, he also was an accomplished painter. He painted with oils and with watercolors, and he was studied in Paris for 5 years. And this guy was pretty interesting. Plus, he had a very strange name, Stotts Cotsworth.
You seem to be very interested in him.
Well, I went online. You know, that's a great thing about the internet. You know, the thing that Al Gore created. I think it's really interesting. I'm glad he did that. You know, I'm really glad he did that because now we can go online and learn stuff.
And that's why?
Huh?
And that's why
what?
We can go on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so that's 12:30 already? Gosh,
how time flies when you're talking about Stotts Cotsworth.
All right, we got a 12-second promo, and then we'll be right back. I think it's really nice of Al Gore that he doesn't require any kind of royalties or anything every time we log on to the internet. I think that's pretty cool of him, actually. Actually, it's kind of warming of him. Global warming,
you're
that
is. Warming.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So, Lisa has been trying to take a picture with a filter, with a St. Patrick's Day filter.
Yeah.
She has taken, and this is no exaggeration,
okay,
at least 15 pictures, and she doesn't like the way she looks in any
that
of them.
That is not
she
correct.
She keeps coming over and taking these selfies with me, and I'm like, that's great. It looks good. I don't like the way I look. You know.
Do I say it like that? That's not true because we took one and I already texted it to Shantae. And she could attest to that, right, Shantae?
Came over here.
I already sent it.
So many times to take a picture.
Probably two or three.
I'm like, enough already with the pictures.
We got a picture. And we look darn cute.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm glad.
All
finally
right.
Got a picture.
Success. You know why? Those little St. Patrick's Day clovers were falling out of the sky and they were ending up in front of our eyes and it looked a little awkward.
That's so what the whole idea of the
so
filter
is. So I retook
is.
It.
Ay, ay, ay.
What a, you know what?
Gosh.
He's got no patience.
So read real quick a couple of the post-toasties things and stuff like that.
Oh, we had a lot.
Because our listeners,
we had
so many. Thanks, folks. Texted in tons and tons of, what are some of the big favorites of
all
the
right.
cereal?
We've got, and thank you for all the St. Patrick's Day greetings. Let's see, we've got Cocoa Puffs. That is a good one.
Oh, yeah, Cocoa Puffs are good.
We've got.
They make the milk kind of chocolatey.
Yeah. Bayless Milk and Honey Granola.
Yeah.
Is that Rick Bayless, maybe? I can't go any faster because I'm scrolling down. Alphabets?
Yeah. Oh, alphabets. I haven't had those in a long time.
Mashup, where you take a bunch of cereals. Okay. Post, CW Post. Granola with things inside. I don't know.
Frosted Flakes.
Rice Krispies.
Those are good.
What else do we have? Quisp.
Yep. Okay. I remember Quisp.
We've got another Bayless. We've got Raisin Bran, like
yeah,
you said.
Like Raisin Bran.
We've got...
Can't go wrong with a good old Raisin Bran.
Special K.
Yeah, Special K.
Cinnamon Life.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have another Quisp. We have CP30.
What's that? Sounds like Motor
it's
Oil.
It's not around anymore. We've
sounds
got
like Motor Oil.
Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs. Those are good.
That's probably has no sugar in it at
Kaboom
all, I'm sure.
And Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Cereal. We've got Quisp and Quaker Oats.
Okay.
Cinnamon Life, Frosted Flakes. So that's a Honey Bunches of O's.
Yeah.
So.
You guys are the best. We ask you to text in and you guys do it. We appreciate you. Yeah. I wanted to see what our listeners are having for cereal.
Yeah. I'm breakfast not a big cereal fan, but I do like breakfast.
You know, a cereal, if you're just hungry, a little bowl of cereal, if it's good cereal, it's not bad. It's
no.
Milk and... Like Raisin Bran's pretty good for you. I mean, it does have a little sugar in it.
Great,
but
nuts.
Life is good. I like Life cereal. Those are good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
That is a brand.
All right, let's get back to one of the busiest actors from the golden age of radio. I learned thanks to Al Gore, Stotts Cotsworth on Casey Crime Photographer.
Mr. Ebersole, to everyone who's come into this bar, I've been predicting that this here baseball season is going to end with a big surprise.
Hello, Ethelbert.
Hi, Al.
Casey, Miss Williams. Excuse me, Mr. Ebersole. Where you been all day?
Oh, hanging around police headquarters.
Oh,
who's that guy?
We're going back there in a few minutes.
We've only got time for a small bottle of beer apiece, so give us some action, Ethelbert.
Come on. Right up. You sticking close to headquarters, waiting for a break in that chivalrous gunman case?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing's swell newspaper copy. The women especially are eating it up.
Well, I'll say they are, Miss Williams. Every other femmy who comes in here is talking about the killer who wouldn't hurt a lady. I think most of them are jealous of that Birch gal. They'd like to have met such a romantical character themselves.
Oh, romantical character nuts, Ethelbert. Those cookies don't do anything romantic or chivalrous unless they got a very cold, hard-boiled reason for it.
But she still ain't described or identified the killer, has she?
No.
Which seems to prove, Mr. Casey, that he didn't take very big chances. He was simply an excellent judge of character.
Maybe. The thing still has a phony smell to me.
I don't see why, Casey. He sized up the gal and figured she wouldn't rat on anyone who'd done her a big favor. That's all there is to it.
Well, that's the way it looks, all right. Yeah.
I suppose the cops have investigated the Birch gal pretty thorough, huh?
Very thoroughly. And she's just what she seems to be, a plain-looking, capable stenographer. And her reputation is A1.
But, Annie, nobody knows her really well. She has no close gal friends. She never went out much with guys. The cops didn't find anybody she'd ever been confidential with.
Well, so what? Girls in a wolf town like this are smart to keep to themselves.
Yeah.
Well, she worked overtime on the night of the robbery at her own request, Annie.
Mm-hmm. And her boss says that she's done that many times before.
Yeah, I know.
You got suspicions of Miss Birch, Casey?
Well, I had, pal, but there seems to be no grounds for them.
Casey had an elaborate theory that the appearance of Miss Birch after the Titus safe was robbed was timed.
Timed?
To make two of the robbers, Riker and Gus, agree to a change in plan.
See, they'd intended to split the dough in a downtown hotel. Well, Francis Birch provided an excuse for this gunman, Ed, to get them and the stolen money out to a lonely spot in the woods where he could bump them off and take the entire haul.
You figured Miss Birch and that Ed were working together, huh?
Well, it was a theory.
You mean a hunch?
Yeah, only Logan can't find any connection between the Birch gal and any crooks.
I don't think it was a very hot theory, anyways. I guess Captain Logan's been rounding up a lot of suspects, huh?
Every guy known to have associated with a safe cracker, Gus, has been brought in for questioning. The cops are still looking for more. Oh, well. Annie, come on, let's get back to headquarters. If anything breaks in this case, we want to be around.
And we'd better be. Our city desk will have our scalp.
You know what I predict about this case, pal?
What?
It'll either be solved
Yeah.
Or it'll always remain a mystery.
You and Miss Williams got here just in time, Casey. My boys have brought in another suspect.
That's so? Who is he?
A rob from Minneapolis named George Neal. Been booked for several trigger jobs in the Middle West, but always got out from under. He's been seen several times with Gus Lesser during the past couple of weeks, and he just might be Ed.
Is the name Ed one of George Neal's aliases, Captain?
No, not that we know of, Miss Wiggins, but that's a minor detail. An experienced crook wouldn't let an amateur like Riker know his real name or one of his usual aliases. Bring him in, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
In a minute or two, I'll have Miss Birch in to give him the once-over.
Oh, she won't identify anyone for you.
I watch that gal very closely when she meets a suspect, Miss Williams. When she sees the right one, she may tell me more than she intends to.
Oh, you think she'll give herself and him away?
Could be. Now, you and Casey, keep your eyes open. Let me handle this.
Okay.
Here's Neil, Captain.
Oh, come in, Neil.
Oh, thanks.
I have a chair.
You're too good to me. Well, what's this pickup all about, Captain?
When'd you leave Minneapolis, Neil?
About 6 months ago.
Been operating in this town ever since?
I don't know what you mean by operating.
You did quite a little gun work out in the Middle West.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I fell up against a couple of phony raps that weren't followed by convictions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pulled some jobs in this town, Neil.
Have I?
Mm-hmm.
Prove it.
I'm going to try. Bring in our witness, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
You have a witness?
Yeah.
Here she is, Captain.
What do you want of me now, Captain?
Now, take a look at that man, Miss Birch.
Well?
Have you ever seen him before?
No.
You're certain?
Certain.
That's all. Take her back to her quarters, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Your witness didn't know me, Captain.
I noticed that, Neil.
Am I at liberty to go now?
You're being held for questioning. Take charge of him, Martin.
Come on, Neil.
Okay. You cops certainly waste an awful lot of time. Having a thing on me.
Miss Williams, Casey, did you notice a change in that gal when she saw Neil?
Yes, Captain, her voice was calm enough, but did you see how she clenched her hands?
You get it too, Casey?
I wasn't watching the gal, Logan.
You weren't watching?
Casey!
I had my eyes on Neil. He wasn't at all afraid of Miss Birch.
You mean you think he's not our guy?
I'm sure he is our guy.
I don't get it.
No, neither do I.
All right, now, Neil was pretty tense at first. Because you just might have had the goods on him for any one of a dozen jobs. Well, that tension disappeared when he saw Francis Birch. All he showed then was relief.
But, Casey, if he's Ed, he'd have had the opposite reaction.
Of course, Ed met this gal only once. He couldn't be sure she wouldn't send him to the hot seat.
Right. He couldn't be sure if he'd met her only once.
You going back to your cockeyed theory of collusion between that respectable woman and a professional rod man?
Neil's a good-looking guy. He could have made a play for her after he learned about the big dough in Titus's safe. And she could have gone so overboard on him, Logan, that she'd play along with the scheme, even a scheme that involved robbery and murder. Well, that's just a hunch, pal.
Well, there's no way to prove a hunch of that kind, Casey. She'll just keep on refusing to identify Ed.
I think there's a way to prove it.
Oh.
Women are jealous, Logan. And when they go all out for a guy, they demand a lot in return.
Yeah.
How do you know so much about women, Casey?
I've read about them, Annie, in books.
Say, we'll try the old green-eyed monster gag, Casey.
Now, what on earth...
Now, you'll find out, because you're going to help work it, Miss Williams. Now, here's what we'll do. Beginning tomorrow, George Neal will receive special privileges in jail. He'll be allowed to have visitors privately. And after we're sure he's enjoying his privileges, Miss Birch's quarters in the women's wing will be changed so that she'll have a fine view of the private visiting room. And then, Miss Williams, you come in.
Come in, Miss Williams. Nice of you to visit me.
Well, it seems the least I can do, Miss Birch. You must be terribly unhappy here.
That's an understatement.
Not in a barred cell, but I'm in a jail. I'm a prisoner. How much longer are they going to hold me as a witness against a man they haven't arrested and whom I can't identify if they do?
Well, I don't know, Miss Birch. But they're making things more comfortable for you. They've given you nicer quarters than you had before.
Yes. They moved me in here today.
Huh? Well, this would be quite a pleasant room if it weren't inside a jail.
Yes, but it is.
Well, that's interesting view from this window.
Interesting? Barred windows, stone walls.
No, haven't you noticed the visiting rooms? They're a few floors below, across the court. You can see the real prisoners with their relatives and friends.
That'll be fun.
That fellow Neil is in one of the rooms now.
Neil?
He's a good-looking guy. One of the men that you couldn't identify, remember?
Oh, no, I've been asked to identify so many men.
Look, he's got a nice-looking girl visiting him.
Yes, I see.
She looks a little too blonde to be the real thing.
She's definitely peroxide.
Oh, I don't know what there is about blondes, real or phony, but they sure appeal to men.
Who do you suppose that woman is?
I don't know.
She's probably a newspaper reporter like you, interviewing him.
No, I know all the news gals in town, and she's not one of us.
Oh.
The guards come in to break up their visit. Oh, Neil must be a close friend. She's kissing him goodbye.
Yes, so I see.
Look at that. Oh, the guards shoot him out. Show's over.
Miss Williams.
Mm-hmm?
I wonder if you'd find out for me.
What, Miss Birch?
Nothing. Never mind. Hello, Miss Williams.
Hi there. I meant to come back sooner, but I've been so busy.
Well, it's good to see you. It's good to see anyone who isn't a matron or a policeman.
You don't look very well. Have you been sick?
I haven't been sleeping.
Well, I don't wonder. You're not really a prisoner, but just...
I'm in a prison.
Well, I wish I could do something for you.
You can. Miss Williams.
Yes?
Nothing. You know, I've had some amusement watching people in that visitor's room you pointed out to me. That man, Neil, I think you said his name was.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, do you know that same blonde woman's visited him every day? She must be a relative, don't you think?
She's a relative, all right. I was curious enough to ask about her. She's his wife.
His wife?
Yeah, as she flew on here from Minneapolis.
Wife.
Miss Birch, what's the matter?
He's married. He was married when he met me. Married when he made me do the things I did for him. All right, two can play his rotten game. Get Captain Logan. I'll tell him what he wants to know. George Neal is Ed. He's that chivalrous gunman. He's the murderer I love. He's the man who promised to marry me.
Hi. I guess you've heard everything you need to, Captain Logan.
Yeah, we heard, Miss Williams. And Casey wins another bet.
This one, Logan, I didn't want to lose.
The blonde tomato Miss Birch saw with Neil was just a police stooge. Huh, Miss Williams?
Mm-hmm. That's right, Ethelbert.
Yeah, great job she has there. After a couple of visits, their little get-together was worth watching.
Those visits will put the chivalrous gunman into the hot seat.
Yes. Frances Birch has given the DA a detailed account of her association with Neil before the robbery and how they put on that act in the woods.
I still can't understand why he needed her as an excuse to get his partners in crime out in them woods.
Well, Ethelbert, Neil has a screwy quirk of character, pal. Unlike most professional gunmen, he couldn't shoot a guy unless he had some pretense of self-defense.
So he planned things so both Gus and Riker tried to get him before he got them.
Pure vanity, Ethelbert. A manifestation of the protective ego with which all males cover their shortcomings.
Say, Annie, how do you know so much about men?
Not from reading books, Mr. Casey.
Huh?
Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Dietz. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is the Casey Crime Photographer with a Chivalrous Gunman, starring Stotts Cotsworth from August 14th, 1947, as heard on CBS.